Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 13th, 2021. This is my home group. I have a sponsor and I sponsor others. It's going to be hard to do this one in 5 minutes. But, you know, I celebrated, real quick, just to qualify myself, when I say I'm an alcoholic, simply put, once I start drinking, I can't stop drinking no matter what. And with a good enough reason to stop drinking, as in don't pick up another drink or take that first drink, I have no defense against it. Doesn't matter what it is, I'm picking that drink up. When I got here, I was completely defeated. I tried everything. I never wanted to end up here, and if this was the last stop on the block for me. This program has completely changed my life, and I celebrated 2 years ago, and I told myself, you know, I'll celebrate on the big years if I make it there, the 5, the 10, and, you know, you make a plan and God laughs, because, this last year has been the most life-changing year of my life, because I became a dad, and I never thought that was in the cards for me, you know? And spoiler, it was an accident, so that was a surprise. you know, it's been the greatest thing to ever happen to me. But the reason I asked Terry to speak for me is because when we found out, it was the first time in sobriety that I felt like the walls were actually closing in, and I was defenseless. It was just scary. It was just scary. It was like not what I saw, what was supposed to happen. You know, I was supposed to get married, white picket fence and all that. And, you know, that just wasn't God's plan. And I'm extremely grateful for that. But when it happened, you know, the fellowship that you hear people talk about, when they say when life shows up, that's the people that you turn to. And I relied on him. And, you know, before this, he helped save my life. But he really did. So I love you. Thank you.
I'm an alcoholic. You guys could silence that Amber Alert. Hopefully she's not here. That was crazy. I don't know why I said that. My sobriety date is June 6, 2016. So at 9 years sober, you could still say absolutely off the wall shit. This is my home group, and I have a sponsor who's here tonight, and I sponsor some guys, and some guys say that I'm their sponsor, and I don't know what's going on there, but I try to help people in Alcoholics Anonymous as much as I can. And I like sponsored Kevin vicariously through Christopher for the first like year and a half. Is that fair? Christopher's not going to agree to that ever, but every time Kevin would call him, you know, with some nonsense, he would be like, what do I tell him? Do more AA, I don't know. And then Kevin called me, and also kind of crazy to throw out there, the happenings of the child with the child's mom here, Kevin, that was weird. But no, man, I've gotten to grow close to Kevin over the years, and he once hired a personal trainer and a professional golf coach so that he could beat me one time after I hadn't played for 3 years, and he's very proud of that. He'll tell you about it, just talk to him. I was trying to think of, like, nice things to say about Kevin, but his mother's here, and I don't want to lie in front of her, so we'll just keep it there, right? He's sober, and that's great. So here's the deal, is I love drinking, right? That's why I'm here tonight. I love drinking. I love what it does to me. I love what it does for me. You know, I love the experience of sitting on a worn-out bar stool in a dirty, dingy dive bar with sticky floors and a cloud of smoke, you know, and I just, like, I feel better just doing that before the drink even comes. I know relief is on the way. And you know, I didn't start out that way. I started out, like, way cooler. I was like, a senior in high school. And, you know, I showed up to a house party with Smirnoff Ice. And I was, like, just, you know, drinking some Smirnoff Ices, listening to 50 Cent, smoking Black Milds, got a wife beater and a do-rag and baggy jeans on, and it hit, right? It was like, I look great. Tonight's the night, you know? And that's what alcohol does for me. No matter what the circumstances, I feel great, you know? And it did that, man, all the way until the last drink, right? There was always a window where I had a moment of, I feel great. The problem is like, there's a lot of non-alcoholics in the room tonight. It's really weirding me out. And the problem is that I love all of them, like, very dearly. They're like family to me, right? And so I'm, like, trying to be careful with what I say in front of them because I'm going to see them again. If it was, like, some random's parents, I don't care. But I'm going to see these parents again. So I'm trying to keep it tight here. But the deal was is I didn't set out to, like, trade anything good in my life for that feeling, right? That wasn't the plan. That wasn't the thought. It wasn't conscious to me, right? I just knew that, like, if I drink, I'm not going to worry about the single wide trailer with no floor and the dad who, you know, can't tell me he's proud of me to save his life and the mom who's just, like, in and out of the psych ward and the sister who's out gang. Like, I didn't care about any of that anymore, right? I was having fun. I was running around gated communities naked, and I was, you know, throwing eggs at people, and it was a good time, man. And within a year of my first drink, it wasn't a good time. Fuck. So, like, normally when I speak, it's like, thank God my sponsor said this a long time ago. I don't, like, get nervous, and it's not, like, a big deal to me. But today I was, like, thinking about what to say. And I was like, what the hell is that? And I knew that Isaac and Kevin's moms were going to be here, right? And within a year of my first drink, I said stuff to my mom, and she took her life. And my mom can't be here to see this. So it's such a special thing to me when I get to see a guy have a relationship with his mom. And for her to show up and want to be a part of, and be a part of his friends, being us, right? Which is just crazy because we're lunatics, we're idiots, right? Like, I just threw these guys a party and I was like, we're eating hot dogs, right? And, like, I got excited to cook hot dogs. And like, just, you know, like, they love me. They've shown me love, like, unconditionally throughout the years. And it's so special. But, yeah, that tells you where I'm at, right? Like, a year into drinking, I'm saying things to my mom and she's taking her life. And that did not slow me up, right? It sped me up. And all I was searching for was that little brief moment of not worrying about anything or not caring about anything and just being able to relax and have fun and smile. And I start to get hope and make plans. I'm going to go to school tomorrow. I'm going to get a job tomorrow. I'm going to go to therapy tomorrow. I'm going to be a father tomorrow. I'm going to be a son tomorrow. And tomorrow never came, man. I just, like, kept trading stuff in one after another. My freedom, anything good in my life, I turned it in for another drink, man. And every time I would come back promising and really, really wanting to not take another drink. With everything in me, I would wake up in the morning, and I don't know what I did the night before, but I know I did it, and I try to figure it out, and I can't figure it out. And the only thing I know to do is make a promise that I'm not going to do it again tonight. And the thing about alcoholism is if you have what I have, if you have a hopeless state of mind and body, if you have a progressive illness, left to your own devices, you don't stand a chance. It might be days or weeks or months or years, but left to my own devices, I'm going to drink again. I'm standing here with you tonight. I'm still in Alcoholics Anonymous because left to my own devices, I'm going to drink again. No matter how much time passes, I got another drink in me. I don't know if I have another recovery in me. I don't know if I can make it back to you guys. And what happened to me is I got sober in July of 2009. I ran into a bunch of nerds that were really excited about Alcoholics Anonymous, man. And my life was about as low as you could get. When you think about the low bottom drunk, that was like me, right? Like, homeless on the street, no underwear, no socks, no toothbrush, just an absolute animal of a person. And I ran into these cats and they were pumped up, man. And I was confused. I didn't know what they were excited about. And what happened is they plugged me in Alcoholics Anonymous and I found out what they were excited about, right? I took some direction, right? And I fought every direction I took. I, like, argued about it and didn't want to do it and complained, and I felt like I was being taken advantage of, right? But they just kept picking me up, kept taking me to meetings, kept taking me across the state and other states and, you know, up on mountains and all kinds of stuff, man. And I got into the steps, and I took the steps, and I started to get some relief, man. And and stayed sober for 6.5 years. Active in Alcoholics Anonymous, active in this home group, right? And my life got better. I got things that a guy like me doesn't deserve. I got a beautiful, incredible woman in my life, and I got my son who I had like abandoned, and I got a job, and I got my driver's license back, and I had a house that was in my name, and one of the AA guys taught me how to get an electric account and pay the bill, and all this stuff happened, man. It was wild, and I got the thought that I wasn't an alcoholic. And here's how insidious alcoholism is. I knew it was a crazy thought. There was no doubt that's an insane thought. But I didn't talk to anybody about it. I tried to like think my way out of it. And I'm the problem. The problem can't fix the problem. That's the problem I have, right? I need somebody else to help me, to give me a way out of my problems. And I kept it to myself, man, and tried to think my way out of it. And you know, within a few months, I got married to my wife. And it was like the most beautiful day. A lot of you guys were there. A lot of you guys were a part of my wedding, you know, and my sponsor was my best man. It was just so incredible. And a month and a half later, I'm on the back porch drinking. Just willing to throw it all away again. Just willing to trade it all in to feel a little bit of relief. Because I'd just been in my head fighting with myself. You know, unsponsored, pulling away from AA little by little by little. And I it's only a matter of time. How long can I hold my breath, you know? And took a drink and took a few more drinks, and it happened a few more times over the next 6 months. And alcohol does what alcohol does to alcoholics. And I came crawling back here with my tail between my legs, man. You know? And I thought that, like, I was going to have to go to advanced AA, right? Like AA 2.0 for relapsers, right? And if you're a relapser and you don't know how to stay sober or what to do coming back from a relapse, newsflash, do the same thing, right? It's the same big book. It's the same 12 steps. It's the same service commitment in your home group. It's the same find a higher power. And I did not want to do that. I wanted nothing to do with that. And but I got back into it, man. And my sponsor sat down with me at a time when he had every excuse in the world to not sit down with me. He could have hit, he could have hit behind a million reasons why he didn't have time to help me, and he made time to help me, and he got me back into the steps, and I was not happy to be here, dude. Ryan, don't leave. Ryan, she's not listening. She doesn't know she's the Ryan I'm talking to. That's it, okay. There's nothing more beautiful than the sound of a crying baby, right? There's a family in Alcoholics Anonymous. But, like, I can't think of a more beautiful thing than that, you know? But I got back into the steps, man, and I did not want to be sober. I was, like, very angry about it, and I don't know what happened and when it happened. You know, it was probably a gradual thing, a educational variety, like the spiritual appendix talks about. But I started to fall in love with AA again, you know, and I started to sponsor guys again, and I started to, like, care about this home group that was, like, 15, 20 people a week at the time, right? And something started to happen in spite of me, right? I kept falling forward professionally, right? Just, like, taking these terrible jobs and then somehow ending up in a better job, you know? And you know, life got good. And then there was a period where life got really not good. Like, bad, you know, sober. It's not supposed to happen. Like, I'm doing all this stuff. What are you doing? What is going on here? And, you know, my mother-in-law killed a guy, and we moved a meth addict that was detoxing into our house, and then the mayor came on the TV and said, you can't leave your house, and we're stuck in the house with him, and he's just running around cooking food, you know, and my son went to prison, and you know, just like all this stuff. And I was like, dude, what is going on? And what I found is I needed a bigger relationship with whatever higher power I had at the time. And I had no clue what that was. And I just took the actions that the big book says to take. I said the prayers that the big book says to pray. And I did the meditations that the big book says to do. And I did the inventories that the big book says to do. And little by little, I realized, like, I'm okay. All this stuff is on fire around me. And a guy told me that hurricanes only happen in fertile environments. And if you know what that means, come see me after the meeting, because it's been like 5 years and I'm still lost. I don't know what he said to me that night. But, you know, the deal was is I was okay, and I realized that I still had a responsibility. And that responsibility was to be here and to show up when a newcomer showed up, right? To carry a message of experience, strength, and hope to an alcoholic who might need it. And lo and behold, I'm here one night, and here comes this kid walking in with his hair all over the place, this weird Long Island accent. And he said he was done, man. He said he didn't want to drink anymore. I thought, like, no chance, you know? And that just shows what I know. And hey, right, I was like, no chance. That kid's screwed, you know? He's a Yankees fan, it's over for him. But if you're a Yankees fan, I don't care. I got plugged in here, man, and something began to change. And I started to have more and more opportunities to put my hand out to alcoholics that needed help and to sit with guys and walk through the book Alcoholics Anonymous with them. And what's wild is, like, nothing got fixed, right? Nothing got fixed. The meth head, like, refused to pay us $300 a month. My kid got out of prison and went back to prison. Blame me for him going to prison. Like, I was the one breaking into the cars. My mother-in-law got way crazier. And then I started to have all kinds of health issues. Nothing on the outside got better, but everything got better. And I don't know how that works, right? My life took on new meaning. And that happened in spite of me, right? I'm so wound up in self-centeredness. And if things were just this way, everything would be okay. And nothing was going that way, you know? And what happened is, a year ago, this is crazy. A year ago, I was speaking at this meeting for Mike. I was making fun of all these people who didn't come because there was a hurricane way out in the Gulf of Mexico. It's like, you know, I think I said mama didn't raise a bitch, and inferring that their moms did, you know, which is rude. If I was talking about you, I apologize. That was not cool. But I was like making fun of these people that like were scared of this hurricane way out in the Gulf of Mexico. And we went out to dinner and we were driving home, and all of a sudden there was like water. And I was like, what's this? You know, and I get to my house and there's like cars like dying in the water in front of my house. And I'm like, oh no. And then I turn around and like my shoes are floating, and I was like, oh shit. You know, and then I go inside and the water's in the house, and I'm like, oh no. You know, and the next day I got up, and I don't know how AA did this. I blame AA for this. First thing I did is I got in my car and I went and looked at my closest friends and family's houses to see how they were doing, you know, and what I could do for them. And then what happened is Alcoholics Anonymous showed up in my life. A guy knew my situation and he called me and he said, why don't you rent my house? That's way too expensive for you. And I was like, I'd have to live with newcomers to make this work. And my wife was like, yes, let's do that, right? She's sober way longer than me. So she had some, you know, clarity that I didn't. And I didn't like that idea. And then like AA showed up and loaded up a truck with all my stuff. And they moved me across town in this new house. And these newcomers showed up. And one of them died and then came back to life. And, you know, like it's just stuff, you know, like stuff that like, I was like, not it. This is not what we wanted, right? And like, I met one of them like at a meeting and I was like, hey, do you live in a halfway house? And he said, no, I live on my mom's couch. And I was like, come live with me, you know? That was crazy, you know? And another one, like, you know, got forced out of his halfway house by the hurricane, and he's in a motel room with five other guys making prison bricks and, like, texting pictures of them to me, like, bragging about it, you know? And I'm like, dude, you don't live like that anymore. And I went, and, you know, and now all of a sudden I'm living with all these fucking newcomers, and I'm like, what are we doing, you know? I quit my job, and I took this new job because it was going to make me rich. I was working like 60 hours a week, you know, up till 4 in the morning. And I realized that like it was taking me away from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was driving to work one day and like she said something crazy. And I prayed and I made a U-turn and went back home. And I quit my job with like kind of a plan. Like, I had like a few weeks of money lined up, you know? And then I lied to my sponsor's wife and told her that I still had a job and it was going great, but I was open to an opportunity that she had for me and I'd consider it. And like, you know, took this other job and it sucks too most of the time, but like, I have a job. And like, I go and do work and it's measurable and I can see the effects and I show up kind of on time most of the time. But I put in like an honest day's work every day. And that's not who I am. And I come home to these damn newcomers and they're getting better. I'm seeing them get relationships with their families. I'm seeing them get driver's licenses, cars, take their mom out to dinner for her birthday, showing up, sponsoring people, chairing meetings, taking meetings to detoxes. And I sit back and I look and I go, how did I get a front row seat to this, man? How did I get this lucky? I couldn't see anything this cool, anything this miraculous. And I like to think that when those dorks found me outside of Club Yano 16 years ago, that they saw that same potential miracle in me. I doubt it, because I smelled real bad. But they invested in me as if they knew what would happen, right? And it's happened for me, and I've gotten to watch it happen for others. And it's okay, I want to talk about another celebrant. Crying because it's so hard to say anything good about this guy. But no, I mean, right before I left Alcoholics Anonymous, this obnoxious fucking newcomer showed up and I was like, dude, this guy, just somebody get him drunk, you know? And he did. And when I came back, he was still here and I was like, damn it. And then he got the same sponsor as me and I was like, this is annoying, you know? And then what happened, like, again, this is, like, all my thoughts, truly. And then what happens is, like, I get a brother, right? Like, get a guy that's, like, just become a brother to me, man, you know? We've gotten to do so many things together that, like, I'm not supposed to do, you know? We've gotten to take all these trips together. And him and his wife asked me to, like, stand up at the altar with them when they got married. And that's, like, the highest honor I can ask for in life, you know? And now we like, I have a passion outside of AA and he gets to do that with me. And like, I was so alone before I got here. I would like, I knew there was a party every Friday night, but my phone didn't ring. Nobody told me about it, you know? And that has not been my experience here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that requires a little effort on my part. I have to take some action to get in the middle of the boat with you guys. But you guys have welcomed me into the boat with open arms. Even when I've been like, let's flip the boat over, you know? Try to throw people out of the boat. They're like, no, just stay here, you know? And what I've gotten is it's like, you know, I see them with their families and I get to be here with my family tonight, man. You guys are here whether you know it or not, you know? Couldn't ask for one more special thing. And this is their sobriety dates, Isaac and Kevin, is the anniversary of my mom's death. And it's helped me so much over the years. It's helped me so much over the years to wake up and know that I can take some action to get out of myself and to celebrate with people that I love rather than wallowing in my own self-pity and remorse and regret. It's helped me immensely. I appreciate you guys so much. I love you. Thank you.